listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Welcome today, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. We're broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what we're doing, please throw a few dollars in the kitty. I know that the operators of the shows and stations would much appreciate any kind of support you can throw their way. I was away last week, so apologize for that, guys. Went to go fishing on the ocean, and then the motor wouldn't start on the boat, so it was a really kind of lousy day, and I wish I'd been here. But all that being said, I am joined by Rick Boswick. Facts versus Feelings is Rick's site, and Rick is joined by a friend of his today who I haven't talked to before, but we're including him in the conversation. Chris Vanderweed is with Rick. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and how is your day going?
Thanks, Barry, for having us on. I don't know. Our day's going pretty good.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All things considering.
I figured last minute, I talked to you before. It was kind of spur of the moment, but Chris has blessed me with his presence because we're working on this upcoming documentary, Mind Lawfare, and I needed him for some interviews. So, yeah, I figured I'd have him on the show because his story is pretty much as relevant when it comes to the actions of Antifa as mine.
Well, you guys are front line there in Ontario, and it kind of annoys me that I'm stuck up here in northern British Columbia, and I can't get involved in a lot of the stuff that you guys are involved in. Or I guarantee you I'd be on the front line, too, because we really do got to get into these guys' faces and put them in their place, Rick. They've really gotten out of hand here in Canada in the last little while. But then, you know, what we have is, you know, young thugs that are being paid, what, $200 a day they're getting funded, and they're being driven around and put up in motels. I mean, this stuff is absolutely out of control now. If you look at the person that's behind it all, it's Mr. George Soros, and he has got very, very deep, deep pockets. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in activism? First question I always like to ask people.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird story, man. I had a kind of a crazy life and kind of settled down, was working, and started seeing the Antifa videos, right? And I've always been a real big anti-bullying. And, yeah, man, I just had enough and ended up getting involved with some patriots. And I really have only been to, like, 3 protests. And, yeah, man, I got myself into, like, a lot of fights with Antifa here. I beat the crap out of, like, 12 of them. That's how me and Rick got – that's how me and Rick met, because they tried to steal from him and attack him, and I was there defending them. And we all got to give Antifa a nice beating.
Well, you know, I don't promote violence, but there comes a point where you have to defend yourself. And these guys are right out of control. And I know if I was there myself, I'd have a hard time holding back my anger. So, but, you know, that's what they want. That's what they're trying to push us towards. You know, it's all part of the package they want. They want people to respond the way we are because we're going to stand up for our friends. And, boy, I'll tell you what they've done here in the last 3 or 4 months. If people really knew what was going on behind the scenes with these guys, I think you'd see a lot of people shift away immediately. But You had just went through a court case here, Rick. I wanted to talk about that a little bit today, actually, what you went through and where that is right now and what we can talk about and what we can't talk about.
Yeah. So also it's related to, I'll just say it has some relation to Antifa. Right now, I'm awaiting decision. I'm awaiting the verdict. The judge took a month, which is encouraging because I looked at his record and he seems fair. There was an instance in his record, a case he dealt with, where he didn't too much like the SJWs. So I really don't know, but the case itself really was skewed from the beginning because. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, and upon doing research, having finally received I still to this day haven't received full disclosure, but they actually hang on, I'm bouncing around here. So I'll just say that from the very onset, the Crown had done some violations to their procedural standards when it comes to self-represented litigants in terms of disclosure. So from the very onset, I and my at the time defendant Corey Scott, who was in the same video, were demanding the full 90-minute video, this live video in question. And the Crown always came back saying, well, we only need 2 minutes, this two-minute clip, to prosecute. So that in itself, they weren't forthcoming. They were resistant, is a violation of certain things like Stinchcomb and Pinty versus Johns. They all went up to the Supreme Court, and procedural standards were set based on that. So by the time I got to trial, the game had already been rigged, and the amount of evidence that I could bring in was extremely limited. Now, not only that, yes, and I will admit I was inebriated. At the time of the video. And so this was 17 months ago. So I was just as ill-informed as anybody else fresh off the street who had watched this limited two-minute clip. So finally on day three, in preparation for day three, the Friday before a weekend where day three would have been the Monday, after I had done all my cross-examinations and stuff like that, all the procedures that would involve a court case, then finally, I'm given 5 hours to show up in Toronto to pick up a DVD of the full 90-minute disclosure. Now, luckily, I had friends in Toronto, and they were able to transfer it to me. And that's when my investigation could really start, because that's when I realized that the allegations or the reasons why I made the alleged threat, my comments, were entirely a different reason from what they were. And right. And I hope that the final day, my final summations, I pointed all of that out. God bless my partner. She managed to write everything down because, you know, I work in video. So I had all these video presentations ready and I couldn't use any of them. So we managed to get the procedural errors out, the constitutional violations from my arresting officer, which I was not allowed to cross-examine. So I wasn't allowed to face my accuser. There's another violation. And not only that, but I pointed out some deception. Deception anyway. I really can't go any more definitive than that in the conversation. But
right.
It seemed like basically the allegations against me, it seems like all parties worked in concert to limit my ability to investigate. And now that I'm fully informed, having you know at least a modicum of the information, let's go public. Because once this decision is made, win or lose, I will not have any constitutional violations over. I will not have gag orders saying I cannot talk about certain people or things like that. Especially when I had, you know, investigations ongoing that have been stalled for 17 months. Mm. So that's this documentary. That's the story, not only of the actions that involve Chris, that involve multiple incidents in multiple cities over last year, 2019. But the court case and everything involved with that.
So it's still in limbo. It's in limbo right now. When do you kind of get a decision on what's going on here?
September 25th. What is it? 12 days away?
12 days from now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to definitely keep me posted on what's going on there. What you're talking about is just an example of what we see in the judicial system anywhere you look in Canada right now. that the system is rigged. It doesn't matter if you're innocent or not. Your decision is made before you go into court. And mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're exposing some of this to the public, man. A lot of people don't really get it, but a lot of people do. And I'm glad you're exposing this and you have the courage to stand up to this kind of stuff. A lot of people have just been to it. We see what's going on with Kevin Johnson right now, the attacks that he has suffered in the last 3 years. We see it everywhere now that everybody is being attacked. We're being censored now in ways that I've never seen before. We see all the new rules coming out, and blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
One thing I can point out is that the information that will come out in this documentary will vindicate Kevin Johnson on at least one of these attacks.
Okay. Well, so he should be vindicated, man. That guy has put up with so much, and he's still fighting. I applaud his courage, man. I really do. We need about 50,000 Kevin Johnsons in Canada right now.
And that's the thing. That's the
Where are they, Rick?
Where are they?
Where are the Canadians that I thought we live with in this country that had some intestinal fortitude? It doesn't seem like it exists in our society anymore, man.
That's the problem. And this is like, how many decades you think they've been weakening us, you know, making us lazy, right?
It's crazy, conditioning, man.
Conditioning us. They've done that in just about every aspect of our life. You want to talk about just about any aspect of what it means to be a person, they've attacked. We could talk about anything. We could talk about vaccines. We could talk about Big Pharma. We could talk about the indoctrination in our schools and programs like SOGI-123. We could talk about the gentleman in British Columbia right now that's going to probably go to jail because his parental rights were completely stripped in relation to a 14-year-old having a decision that is absolutely life-changing. I mean, this stuff is just really getting out of control in Canada, man. And it's just a very small percentage of the society that's doing this to us. And I just wonder what it's going to take for people to stand up. I think you're going to see a real kind of I don't know what's going to happen. Kids go back to school. There's a lot of different people talking about a lot of different things. And that kind of, to me, is a scary situation, what they're doing to our children right now.
Well, it is. It is, Barry. And I mean, the... Like, look, you see the escalation, the exponential curve upward towards tyranny, or downward, I guess, the downward spiral. We're on the downslope of the roller coaster. We've left the chain, and now gravity has taken over, and we're gaining speed faster than we could imagine. So, you know, when it comes to things like my court case, or Chris is done with his, but when it comes to things like me going on the offense, I don't even know if I have the time in this country right now. Mm-hmm. And when you see, you know, benchmark moments, watermark moments, forced vaccination is going to be one. I mean, we hear now both in Alberta and in Quebec City that made international news that we have secret facilities for involuntary quarantine. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I've heard many reports about stuff like that going on that's not being exposed in the mainstream.
I've heard many times as well that when it comes to Canada, we are a special case. Because, I mean, we are, like, think about it. Globally, we are a special case. We have a ton of resources. Yes, a lot of it's frozen. It's unlivable, right? But we still have a very, very low population. We're never going to know because, obviously, with mass migration, the numbers are going to be fudge. So do we have 40, 45? Maybe we have 50 million by now. I don't know. All I know is I don't trust my government, and I'm not going to trust their numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've heard many times we are a test case. You know, we are going to be the resource whore for the New World Order.
Well, you look at our resource, look at the resource abundance in Canada. I mean, every Canadian should be getting a check from the government every month for the resource base in this country, but it doesn't work like that, man. We've been sold out. Communist China owns Canada now, and they're dictating to everything that we're doing, man. Look at Theresa Tam. What a joke. I can't even watch that thing talk, man. It just drives me nuts.
I said that last week, man. I can't even. It's like, it's the thing you see in your nightmares, man.
Well, and didn't you know that that Snowflake, you know, President Snowflake would never mention China until he lost the seat, until he lost his exit option. then all of a sudden he was a little bit critical on China. You know, hey, now you can show some balls because, you know, you're not getting that seat. So,
See, and that's the thing, right? Like Rick's saying, like, they know they're, we don't have much time. That's like with this whole lawfare, right? Like, I just took a plea because they want, like, you know, they set me up for now. I would have to wait another 6 to 8 months just to finish my trial, right? And I've already been waiting for a whole year, not able to be on the ground, right? And, like, I'm a huge, like, defense person, at least, you know, like that.
We're both very anti-bullying, very anti-bullying. I mean, I was a victim of bullying when I was younger, and it stuck with me for a long time. Depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, absolutely. And then, you know what? I found Jesus, and I found the truth, and the truth set me free. Now that I had an identifiable enemy for why life sucks, I figured maybe I'll point the finger at them instead of myself.
It
helped a lot. So,
and I wish Antifa could be real because they got that same story.
They have the same problems. Different problems, but I mean, and
bro, the only difference is they didn't take that turn you took to just forgive and be a better person and actually attack the real problem instead of just feeding your hatred, right?
Well, and they want us to share in their dread. I think that's what it is. That's why it's burn it all down with them. You know, we're more surgical. We want to remove the cancer from the freest institutions that the world has ever seen in terms of governance. Because I don't think we've ever – I don't know. Were the pharaohs – maybe they lie about the pharaohs and it was really kick-ass when you were a slave in the pits building those things. Maybe they're lying.
Look, okay, we can't talk about that, man.
I'm just saying.
The quality of life wasn't that low, okay? That's all I'll say. Well, not
– back like, building the pyramids?
No, the pyramid days low? The pyramid days was messed, okay? But currently
– plus the aliens.
We can't talk about this, guys. You know? Let's get back to lawfare.
Okay.
You guys are getting a little off subject here, but that's okay.
The lawfare is so real, man. Trudeau – it's like Dore Love. Did you hear about him? He's a Christian black preacher. He went out west to Vancouver. An SJW – LGBT supporter went up. He admitted that he on Facebook, Twitter, that he went to go steal his mic and bully him.
He did steal his mic. He did grab his mic.
Something happened. The guy broke his leg. Dore Love is being charged. Had all like his equipment, his phones, his booth. He had thousands of dollars, his whole livelihood, and his acted like his preaching stuff gone.
Yeah.
Trudeau calls the guy, tells him he's a hero.
Everybody we point out, the liberals seem to go out of their way to back Sophie's Place, right? And then the liberals go and fill their bus with Sophie's
but what
Place
is,
food. And,
you know, that just tells you, like, if you need to look. Like, I wish people could look in the world and say, where did that start? You know, like, if you look at these countries where, you know, the government controls, you know, the political aspects and spectrums and, like, what is allowed, like – it doesn't have a good future for us.
Well, you know, this scandemic was planned 3-4 years ago, man. They knew exactly what they were doing, when they were going to unleash it. They were hoping they'd get the response from the public. They did, and they did get the response they wanted. Now they're drunk with power. This is never going to go away unless we stand up to it now, because we're going to have a second wave, and then we're going to have a third wave. Boy, I'll tell you, just watch the next couple months what this government's going to do.
I know, brother.
And the funny thing is, we're not asking. They always want to bring out. They always want to conflate. You know, they always want to talk about white supremacy or white privilege or white power or all these kind of things. How about everybody being treated equally? How about that for a change, right? Because, you know, and obviously, it goes back to, you know, sometime the history of being bullying and stuff. One of the first things that I noticed was selective prosecution is a sign of an authoritarian regime where everybody is not treated equally. So I got a taste of that in school. You know, obviously you speak out against the teacher. What do you know? You're just a kid, right? You know, the teacher is an authority. So, you know, I've questioned authority. You know, I wouldn't say I have ODD, oppositional defiance disorder, but, you know, I find you lie to me on 9/11. I find you lie to me on a couple other things. I'm going to go on the fact that maybe I should go just on the safe stance that you're lying to me, and then I'll find out if you're telling the truth before I believe it.
Well, show me one instance where the government has told us the truth in the last 15 years. I'd like to hear it.
But it's, sorry, but when it gets back to the inequality, so
it's a 1 second of a 20-minute.
Well, what we've seen, at least what I've seen in my 4+ year public, you know, effort, so to speak, online, of going and covering these events, we've seen inequality throughout the media. We've seen inequality through social media with censorship, stuff like that. And now, as they play whack-a-mole with the most outspoken people who get the most, you know, the most influence and expose them, the people that are the most, the biggest threat to them, they're playing whack-a-mole. They did it with Faith Goldie. Who else? They did it with me. I don't know if you're on their radar yet, but they've done it to many other people. And, you know, like with Chris's case, there's no getting around it. There's no getting around his actions because I filmed it. And they tried to bring heat on me saying, oh, look what you did. Oh, you got one of your own arrested. He knew. He knew that I was going to film because if it's going to – it had to be filmed. It had to be shown.
Man, the amount of probably scorn and tears that Antifa has from that video. I was saying it yesterday, man. Like
the international remakes,
you know, bro.
You can go to every country and listen to their country's music, bro, with compilations of those hits.
Like hundreds of people message me telling me, like, I watch this when I'm sad at the world, and it gives me hope. Like,
well, yeah. Rick, I hope I'm on their radar by now. If not, I'm doing something wrong, man. You know. We're all on their radar. It doesn't matter if we're a small voice, a big voice, we're all on the radar. And they are going to be coming after us first when the hammer really starts to come down. They're doing that now.
Already committed. What is done is already done. Like, maybe if I could do it again, maybe I would use an alias, but it's disingenuous. I stand behind everything I believe because it's good.
Well, that's called integrity, right? We have integrity. We're proud. We're... You know, like, that's what – you can beat them every day of the week if you attack their, like, character, you know, like, in a right way.
Well, they have no character, so it's very easy to attack it.
But they're very easy triggered, man.
See, like, here's an example. So the last two videos that I put out, one was the CCFR event I just put out today, and the other one was a friend, a patriotic friend, Stephanie McAvoy, and she was just walking up, her and one other individual, just walking up to attend on the Hill. And they just so happened to coincide, their path coincided with a bunch of young skateboarding youth that were BLM. And they started chanting at her, calling her a Nazi, getting in her face, some big, tall, black, you know, youth, I don't know, 17, 18 years old.
Man,
getting in
they looked like they were 15.
110-pound small woman getting in her face, telling her to F off, telling her she's a Nazi and a racist and shit. And then someone comes up, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, watch. That's my one warning for the language. Sorry. And comes up and grabs the flag that was wrapped and tied around her neck. And nothing's done. Nothing's done to these people. Like, I mean, I didn't expect that the mob was going to go and, you know, lynch them. But, you know, she could have just as easily started screaming, BLM attack me. And there was 4,000 people 100 meters away. Yeah, I would have at least addressed it.
I was 20 feet away.
We would have at least addressed it. But the PPS, the Parliamentary Protection Services, they know her. They're, Stephanie, are you okay? Breathe. Okay, you're okay? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Continue.
I didn't assault her.
Continue.
She's hysterical.
What?
And
continue,
like,
what? When do we get to punch someone in the face? When do we get to vent? No, I'm just saying.
Patriot fighting training, Canadian Pan
because
Man.
Maybe. I'll film it. But seriously, when you see that's how they get you. They get you by the goading tactics.
Lawfare. Lawfare.
Even to this day, you know, like 3 years ago, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. Oh, they're chanting. Big deal. Nazi go home. But you know what? After event after event after event and the same stuff, it does wear. It does wear on you. Just like Noriega when they blasted music to get him out of his friggin' yo fuck. You know?
Frick those guys.
But this is, you know, I'm sorry. We have a lot to discuss. An hour is not enough. But basically, lawfare, it's going to bring out the one-sidedness. It's going to bring out, you know, things in the justice system to look out for. for your average everyday person who may be the next outspoken person that they try and hammer. And at the same time, the conclusion of the trial and the release of this documentary will name names of the people responsible for crimes that I could safely say even in a progressive society would warrant 50 years to multiple different people. And these are things that I've been forbidden from speaking based on the violations set forth by Detective Sanjeev Nair of 53 Division that was promoted up to Guns and Gangs. Which is really ironic because you know what? Yeah. After my arrest and putting that thing saying, I said I was unemployed when they asked me. And then all of a sudden my forms say, I'm an independent journalist. Thank you, Toronto Police Services, for accrediting me. That's exactly what, accreditation involves. But that being said, you say I'm a journalist. Excuse me. And then on top of that, you say, I can, you basically infringe my rights to speak. Well beyond your jurisdiction, I guess you could say that.
Well, the jurisdiction comes from the mayor, pretty much.
Yeah, right?
That's what you have to understand.
Well, and that's something. You know what? The real story. Okay, so this charge, whatever. It's what I'm dealing with now. But the real story, once I had the full information, the 90-minute video in question, was that it wasn't about any one individual. It was about it was about one individual. It's about John Tory and his March 23rd tweet calling all attendees of a group white supremacist, therefore emboldening unions, Antifa, and your average everyday Joe to come out in the many hundreds and kettle us and surround us and traumatize us and call for our deaths. And I didn't like it too much. And I spent 2 days after that driving around with other patriots to different divisions, to OPP, to RCMP. And finally, the night that I did the video with Derek Story and Corey Scott, where we were celebrating having a investigation open, I said a couple of things and they were tied to somebody else saying a couple of things and some, and there we go. And some charges were able to be laid. And I think that I covered that so far with, I'm really having to watch my words because we're so close to the end of this, but, the things that I can't say will be said multiple times.
One thing we need to say, and we all know right now is there's a lot of stories like this. That's what's making it hard. I feel like a lot of Canadians are scared because that's
scared.
What it's doing.
Yeah,
they're scared.
And fear tactic, man. Most people are getting to a point now where if they speak out, they're going to be attacked. Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't want to do that. Maybe they have a family. Maybe they have something they want to protect, even though they know what's going on is totally wrong, that they're being stifled. Well, that is all part of the Communist Manifesto, and that's one book that everybody should read.
You gotta check it out, man. Like, I went into 5/7 Antifa, man. All these people will have bravery and courage. My trial, man, the judge was disappointed. He told everyone that he would be surprised if I lost in trial. I know it. 1,000 people know it. But we don't have time, man. I don't have time to sue CBC, the news. I could have won, too, man. I'd be Nick Sandman. Right.
You know
then,
how many
Kyle
times
Rittenhouse.
Mainstream media has stolen my stuff, lied about the context in which they're using it, and not given credit? Absolutely. Like,
but
I'm sorry.
As much as we talk about these facts, the people who are listening need to know we have to do our best. We have – what do we – we're going to sacrifice our time now and our efforts for what? To suffer later?
Well, we don't have – well, I'm going to agree with what you said earlier in the show that we don't have a lot of time to stop this right now, that the window is going to close. And right now, if people don't get up and get involved, we could literally lose the country. People say, well, that can't happen. This Canada can't happen. Our government's working on our best behalf. Well, one of these days, everybody's going to wake up and it's going to hit them like a ton of bricks that everything they've been believing is a lie. But at that point, they might be past the point of no return. And I'm scared we're going to get to that point soon.
We can't allow it, right? And that's, the problem is
we got to be realistic about what we see going on right now in this country. We are spiraling so quickly to a full-blown communist dictatorship that if people can't see it right now and they can't get involved with everything that's going on around them, then we really are in a pile of poop. I was driving around yesterday, guys, and seen a guy mowing his lawn wearing a mask. mowing his lawn.
Oh my gosh.
I see, I'm seeing parents. Listen, I'm seeing parents walk around with 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old children with a mask over their face. I wanna stop my vehicle and have them charged for abuse of a child is what I want to do.
Yeah, Barry, I got one better.
But it just goes to show you the level of stupidity in people, man. Go ahead.
I got one better, and this was just recent. I put a post up. I should have done a video, and I think I will do a series of videos pointing this out. So going for a walk early morning, kids in Ontario have started to go back to school. So you have your stops, your bus stops. And sure enough, you see, like you said, 5, 6, maybe 7-year-old maximum children wearing – year-old children wearing masks. Excuse me, sir. Why is your child wearing a mask and you're not? Yeah, and why are you not?
Yeah, exactly. Good question. And I thought, Rick, human beings were supposed to be an intelligent species. Okay, we're supposed to be the most intelligent species on this planet. Yet people cannot take 10 minutes. Well, you can't take 10 minutes, folks, to look into the effects of hypoxia on a child. I mean, this is something that is absolutely the most detrimental thing we can do to their health at this point in their life. Depleting them of oxygen is one of the worst things you can do to a child developing brain, period. And we go, and we have people in society going along with this. All you have to do, folks, is go look on the internet and you'll find out that these masks have no effect in stopping this virus in any shape or form. It's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. Yet they're doing what they're told by the government. That scares the heck out of me because the government is monitoring everything that's going on. They're getting the reaction they wanted to get. And when they unloose the next one, it's going to have a little bit more bite. You watch everybody run and hide in their houses again. This is never going to go away, guys, unless we stop it now, period.
Well, no, Barry, there's an added insidiousness to the next wave. And the next wave is not only going to reinforce the fear, but it's going to be, look at the people who refuse.
Well, you're going to have a lot of people all of a sudden getting sick in society because they're wearing a mask. And, of course, they'll relate that right back to the agenda. My God, you look at what's going on. They don't talk about the level. They don't talk about all the reports of black mold showing up in Ontario hospitals right now, do they? There isn't a mention of that anywhere. Or all the other diseases and effects that it's starting to have on people that are being reported to medical authorities. You hear nothing about it. Crickets. These guys got to be taken out and hung. CBC, they should all be taken out and hung today. Because they are just as big a traitor as anybody else in this country. Go ahead.
Definitely need to be running some labor for a dozen or couple dozen years, you know?
See, the problem is, I mean, if we want to talk into how we fight back, and I know that's something that you mentioned, right? How do we fight back?
That's the real thing.
The problem is, I mean, when you're looking at – well, first off, there's always been two sides. There's been hope for the best, pray for the worst. Hoping for the best is my online activity.
Yeah.
That's hoping for the best.
100,000 people singing Kumbaya and O Canada, man. Ottawa streets, shut her down.
But there's a huge gray area of civil disobedience. Now, obviously, it really depends on your politics. If you have a rainbow flag and a turban on, well, then, you know, you have a lot more leeway in what you can do and not what you can't. But that being said, you know, there are ways that we can, you know, we don't hit CBC or fake news near enough at all. Yeah. Like if we had the same Soros funding or Tides Foundation or special interest NGO international, you know the deal, then we would have teams with people with cars. We would follow news vans. We would make sure that, like, the incident, I don't know if you know, all the way back to 100 Days of Ford when I was on Kevin Johnson's campaign. And he did a brilliant move. He jumped in front of CTV Live and got $100,000 in free publicity. But that needs to become a standard. You know what? If they have $1.6 billion subsidized taxpayer funding to lie to their own citizenry, their own viewership, to promote a globalist narrative which will enslave them, well, then I think that they should earn that money. You know what? Let's make some expenditures forcefully on them. Perhaps security every single time they go out to an event. And I'm not saying security against violent people, no, because we're not violent. Everybody knows that. But 20, 30 people – the instant that they show up at an event, because the people, I don't know, maybe I'm radicalized, Barry, I don't know, But
no, you're not.
People that show up, like this new batch, every time that there's a new atrocity, there's a new batch of people, right? And these new batch of people, they're all gung-ho, and they're like, I'm going to be an activist, and I'm going to change the world. And they don't realize that people have been doing this, and they just haven't heard about us. So they come in the way, and they have these brash, you know, huge ideas, and they never come to flourish. And then in the way, they get in the mix, and they cause a whole bunch of problems. When maybe they should do a little research privately before they come out publicly, they get to know the characters, perhaps, just perhaps.
Yeah, I was just saying that yesterday, like BLM jumping in. It's like they're calling Attack Us. Yeah,
we're talking about the camp, by the way.
BLM attacked us yesterday, though, and it's like calling us racist. Oh, but you attacked the government. It's like we've been fighting the government before you. It's like you're trying to stop us now from fighting. Why aren't you working together with us? Like, none of us care what color you are. We love any race you are. We love black people. We love white people.
But that's the problem. Chris. Asian. They always say, look, you know, when you're talking about a parent having influence over a child, well, look at how much time that their school and their friends and their television have more than two working parents, Barry. Look at how much more influence and more much time.
Well, society's
you know, it's the same thing, Chris. It's the same thing. Take that, but you're not even their parents. You're some obscure channel that Silicon Valley tries to hide from people.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a lucky we have these numbers.
Oh, but that's the thing, too. I feel like sometimes we get discouraged because we're caught up in comparing ourselves with America. And they have 10 times the population.
But they're paying attention.
And they have patriotism. Like, I'm a quarter American, right? So I've actually, like, I know, like, I have patriotism in my blood, you know, like, yeah. So I understand a little differently why, like, Canadian history, we rise up when it's just about too late.
But that's the delusion. Sorry, I mean, I just have so much to say.
Our history, that, bro.
This is the delusion, though. You know this. When people talk about Canada not having an identity, one thing that I think we've established is Canada has a very strong vein of we are not America, right? So if America has global tyranny and they're fighting it, and the media says, well, it's not tyranny, it's progressivism, it's globalism. We're going to be okay in a new world order. And these old white, what do they call them? Old stock, racist people. This is, you know, Trump is their last stand.
Old stock Canadians.
To try and remain a warmongering empire before the rest of the tolerant world can take in. But, I mean, they don't look, I don't know. Oh, is it the money? Or is it the lack of thinking that these institutions that are global, that have global reach beyond any one country, that have filled themselves with the most corrupt, evil, satanistic, children, baby-eating, raping,
might be a thing. But the thing is, it's, you know, I always kind of, like, I'm a peacekeeper. As much as I fight people, like, I truly, like, I actually was in line to probably try and be a PSW because after surviving the crap I've been through, I know about having a healed mind and not getting the help you need if you do have this. A lot of these people are just trauma, right? Everyone thinks George Soros this. I guarantee it's just a few. I call them handlers, right? There's some people who just manipulate it.
Oh, some people. That's the dangerous thing.
Look at how it's children now, right?
They believe they're doing the virtuous thing. They believe they're right.
Well, they were lost, and they were looking for something, and look, they got snatched up, right? The real thing is finding the way. Like, we closed. That's what I was getting to, right? Like, they've used mental health as a weapon against us to divide us, right?
Well, and that's this has been going on for a long time, gentlemen. Where we're finding ourselves right now, it didn't happen overnight. We look at the indoctrination in the universities in the United States and Canada and who's influencing our students and what they're being taught. They don't really know history anymore. History's been taken away from them. They only know what they're being taught. And henceforth, we have people coming out of universities now that are basically crickets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, exactly that. And you're talking about the people responsible, right? So, you know, I've been to, you know, CBC headquarters downtown Ottawa probably 20 times, and it's always locked buildings. You know the drill. But we need to see people going in thousands to Parliament Hill. I know that Parliament Hill is symbolic, but when it's in probably one of the most liberal bureaucratic cities in Canada, you're not going to get the will of the people. you're not going to get obviously any airtime unless it's defamatory. So why not take those efforts? And, you know, I've always been trying to decentralize. On a global plan to fight this thing, we have to decentralize. We have to create our own communities. And to a large extent, that's what patriotic family. They're my family. You're my family, right? Because we all know the importance of what's going on here, and we all need the numbers, right?
Canadian Canada first is why, yeah. Like I.
So decentralizing – sorry. So no, decentralizing, at the same time, you can do that with efforts. You don't need 1,000 people to influence others. Get yourself mad. Like, buy photocopiers, right? Well, I don't have a camera. You know, I do what I do, right? So obviously, the gear that I have is specialized towards my trade. But other people can buy in bulk in ink and paper and make leaflets. And like Warlord, or Your Ward News got shut down, the satirical newspaper. And actually, I'll use this platform to I got some help from James Sayers. I got some help from James Sayers, and he wanted it known that if the decision comes out favorable, yeah, he did help me with some of the case laws. So just a little jab to our enemies. But, you know, we need local community papers. You don't have to be as contentious. Obviously, you're waking up very, very fresh people. So you just start out with little sparks, little, you know, points of interest that are very factual. Put in a link. There are a lot of things that people can do.
And there's a lot of stuff we're working on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we're working on.
We're not, you know, wear boots on the ground.
Like, go,
you know.
Don't go to Parliament. Go on to a university. Say, you know, we pay for this. You know, it doesn't matter your profession, but it's like, say it is a bad profession. I have a mick-ass job, and I think about hanging myself, and I have an alcohol habit because I hate my job and my existence. But I do it, and I pay taxes, and this is what you fucking do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's your language? Hey, come on.
I'm sorry.
Please.
Beep.
Yeah. The beep was
okay. Did they get that in? Okay.
Let it go once, and that's it. Okay. But anyways, okay. You're right, Rick. But, you know, really in society right now, we have a conglomeration of problems that have been thought about in think tanks for years and years and years. Where to get society to where we are right now, where, you know, Canada and the United States, we're the sickest nations in the world, bar none. We spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest country. All that being said, it's all part and parcel of what we see in society now, that people, minds, their bodies are at a point where some people, all they can think about is what's going to happen next to my body and how many times I'm going to go to the doctor here in the next 2 weeks. If we look at what's happened to us, the food that we've been fed, the vaccination programs that we're being supplemented to, everything that's happening to us, it doesn't matter where you look in our world, there's nothing that's beneficial to a healthy existence as a human being on this planet. So now we find ourselves a very weak, very, very, very weak society that is being confronted with chaos like we've never dealt with in society before. So it makes for the perfect storm, and they're playing off this. You know, the old saying that out of chaos comes control has never been more true, and they're going to ramp it up. But when I talk about our bodies, man, that to me is one of the first things that we can do as a person, is to really start paying attention to what we're doing to our bodies. Get away from fast food. Stop eating processed food. Take a list with you to the grocery store of all the genetically modified foods on the market today and avoid buying those. There are so many things you can do. And what happens, folks, when you start doing that, your brain gets to think a little bit clearer. You start feeling a little bit better about yourself. So you're ready to take on the problems that we're seeing. It's all part and parcel of what we're going through right now. My thoughts on that. Go ahead.
I would go one step beyond that, Barry. And that's simply because of everything that seems to have to be fortified topsoil nutrients have been depleting. So, you know, when you think about a business model, it just has to look like celery, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, organic or top notch. So start growing for yourselves, people. Like, you know, now this winter, because obviously, you know, we're politically aware and, you know everything that's going on. I really don't think we have another spring where we're going to be
sufficient. Have you guys got a show running in the background? Because they're picking up noise in the background. You got somebody talking?
Sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. No, is that okay?
That. Yeah, that's okay. Better. Okay, go ahead, Rick. Yeah, I agree with what you just said. You know, I'm not a fear-mongering type of person. But I realistically, I look at what's going on right now. I look at the level of power that this government all of a sudden is attaining over society. I look at how society reacted to this fear virus when it was unleashed. They pay attention to all this. The algorithms are all being laid down. The people that are going to speak against it, our names are all on the list. The people that are going to go along with anything the government says is all on the list. And they're really going to ramp this up, guys, because they got the reaction they wanted from the public. Everybody ran into their bedrooms and hid under their beds. Go ahead.
See, don't you, like, it's so odd. Like, sometimes it's like a burden to us being too righteous. You know, it's like we don't want to fear monger. We're like, this is a real fear. Look at how they're reacting to this fake fear. You know, the extent they're going to, like, they're demonizing people. You have a medical condition, they're going to treat you like garbage and second class. They don't even care if it's real. You know, it's
even
all we need to do is just go out there and say the truth. You know, like it's like you were saying. I totally agree, man. I love health. I love, you know, great diets. You know, it makes you feel so great. People don't know this because we're bred into this consumerism, materialistic society, right? And it's hard. The thing is, those things are all we fight for too, right? We should have all those as a base standard, right? It shouldn't be like a freaking thing that you have to say, eat healthy, you know, eat right, watch this, you know, watch that. It's like, that should be, you know, if your government says they care about you, that should just be normal, you know? And that's why we're all getting mad, because they're trying to do this virtue signaling. Critical thinkers like us is like, you're just playing up your, like, laziness,
you know? All the divisions they've put into society over the last 30 years, and there's been multiple that we could talk about. They don't seem like anything on the surface, but when you add them all up and put them in the same big picture, they have divided society in simple ways that, you know, don't look like a division, but they are. But they all play on the end game to where we are right now as a society. We're fighting against each other when we should be fighting the enemy, but we don't see the enemy because we're so preoccupied with fighting each other. By the divisions they put in society, and they're very good. These guys are psychopaths. I mean, you almost got to applaud their levels of insanity and what they put society to at this point.
They're very smart.
I hate to quote the Prime Minister, but this is unprecedented. Because I say that because you've seen, you've seen changes in fad pop culture. And I learned probably a couple of years ago about the low pants fad and where that really came from in prison. And, you know, obviously when you see a fad or a fashion trend take off and become viral, certainly based on, you know, something with a history like low pants, the rulers have to be laughing their butts off, right? So what we have with COVID is we have kind of a similar societal change, much more drastic, much more enforced. It's no longer, hey, this is a new fashion, why don't you adopt it? Like bell bottoms or low pants or whatever, you know, whatever other thing media power is able to push onto the public.
Wearing
this is fear, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and that's why, you know, yes, I do have medical exemptions, but even if I didn't, fundamentally, I am not going to reinforce a lie onto somebody else who may be on the fence. Matter of fact, there have been a couple of times where I'd be leaving an establishment and somebody would be coming in. What's wrong? Oh, I forgot my mask. I just say medical exemption. They're not allowed to ask anything further. It's like putting up a crucifix to a vampire when you say medical exemption.
You know, the scariest part of this whole scenario to me, guys, is the fact that so much of society is willing to go along with what the government says without questioning it. And in the show, we were supposed to be intelligent people. Now, if I thought and heard of anything potentially harming my child, by putting a mask on their face. And there's got to be conversations going on in general public about the potential effects. I mean, people aren't that stupid. And if I thought there was any possibility of damaging my child, I'd want it investigated fully. Well, my question is why? Why aren't parents being parents? We are the guardians of our children. They're going to do exactly what we tell them to do. And the fact that people are allowing this to go on to their children right now, I just don't have words to describe that, man. I really don't have words. It scares me to death when I see how much people will confide with the government going forward, because, like I said, they're just going to wrap this up. The new agenda is going to come out. The new wave is going to come. They've already told us that. And this is going to go on, and it's going to go on. And they will bankrupt our system. They will destroy capitalism. Everybody's going, yahoo, I got my COVID check from the government. I got people going,
hey, really? I mean,
I love my government. Look, they're sending me $2,000. I can sit home, play video games. I mean, this is the greatest thing in the world. Well, all of a sudden,
Bill Brett costs $5,000.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's going to come to
with hyperinflation, right?
Huh?
With hyperinflation, wait until a loaf of bread costs $5,000.
Well, that's what's good. I mean, our economy is going to be destroyed, folks. It's what they're doing right now. You cannot do that to an economy, and that economy survived. But we see the same thing going on worldwide. They're setting us up for the bring-in of the one world currency. That is going to happen if we don't stop this now. That is going to happen. We look at the big push towards cashless. We look at the big push towards RFID chips. They're talking about forced vaccinations. This is medical tyranny, and it is just ramping up. Tracing apps, what was it, 1.4 million signed up to the tracing app that the government put out. Can you imagine? We got 1.4 million dumb people in Canada. Go ahead.
Al, that means that you have 1.4 million possible government snitches that I don't know. It's, you know,
We have a completely liberal government.
No, but my partner.
1.4?
My partner recently moved to a flip phone. Now, of course, you know, my partner moving through a flip phone means that she just uses my phone for internet. But I've seen that in many other instances where people are trying to detect themselves, you know, just to unplug or at least to limit their exposure to the systems of control. Government enforcement, well, run to the hills, really. Because, I mean, I can't believe that so many people are uninformed like us. And I see it when I go to events. I see people, you know, tap my hand or just touch me on the shoulder and say, keep it up. Or, you know, people whisper literally on the way of walking by. But they can't say anything publicly. So there is a silent majority. I don't know. How long can we keep Trump alive? Because that really seems like this election, if you haven't prepared before this election, because win or lose, it's going to be, if he wins, well, you know that 10 times the Chad or Chop or whatever, the riots in the Democrat cities, 10 times that's going to happen. If he loses, well, then we have Biden. And I don't even know if
the 23rd. Then you would see a civil war. Then you would see a civil war. So either way.
Election.
Americans love fighting communism.
So what, basically just hold your Gadsden flag out and wait for the troops to try and pass you by? They'll be like, don't worry, okay.
Why do you think, you know, we have a gun rights march yesterday? Like, they hate America because they have 2A. No one has 2A. Switzerland, kind of.
It's 2A.
Your Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The biggest fear, right? Like, the Free West, we have to understand, is they're scared. Why do you think they're destroying history, rewriting it? If you know history, we freaking will always rise up and defend our families and our country because we believe in a righteous, free country. That's why we came here. Back in the day, we spent, you know, probably we spent like 6 months on the water finding, risking everything to come here for freedom, right? We're not just going to give that up, man. We've struggled and fought wars. And then, you know, they call us racist for the natives, but we've tried so hard for hundreds of years to solve the problem with the natives. We came for land. We have nothing to go back to. What did we were supposed to do? It's a what other country fought a war and then got along like we have with the French, like we have with the natives, with the Scots?
Reparations, all the making amends to all the mistakes of hundreds and hundreds of years. It's the same thing when you look at the Palestinian-Israeli project, or, you know, conflict, right? You know, when you have chance, like from the river to the sea, Palestine must be, you can't undo that.
Like, you can't do that. What are you going to give an entire country 30 days to evict?
Well, no, it all stems from if you repeat it, you
those who don't know the history do to repeat it. Exactly.
It's mantras and stuff, right? Like, that's what it is. It's all brainwashing, man. And then we're here like...
And what's sad is in Canada, we have the foresight. We have the foresight of looking what happens in Europe and then looking what happens in the United States and knowing that we have about 3 to 6 months before that's here in a limited degree.
Why aren't Canadians standing up then, Rick?
Because they're scared.
It's materialistic values that have been bred so deep, and then the government, like, laziness and demasculinization of our culture and men, and then making the women, like, very combative and angry, has made us a total weak society.
Well, it's been perfect.
Why do you think everyone can have nationalism? You can say black power, but you can't say, you know, white doesn't have anything, or else you're going to get attacked, right?
We're down to the last 5 minutes here, guys. I don't want to cut you off, but I'm going to let Rick have the last couple thoughts there, and I'll give you a quick last thought there, Chris, and I'm going to have to shut out the hour, but it's been fun talking with you guys, as always.
Yeah, man. We could chat for hours.
We could.
So I guess my final thought, Barry, is just first off, thanks for having us on. Look forward to a lot more on Facts versus Feelings. I did some house cleaning on Facebook, but I still love everybody that I defriended. I'm just doing it for security purposes. And I will I'm just really on the roller coaster like everybody else. So and I have a lot of other things going on in life that I really can't talk about. I will in the future. They're very, very important things, special things. But for now, just look online, see what I've got, and I'll turn it over to Chris. And I am optimistic about the outcome. Because regardless, once the decision is made, I get to go on the offensive, finally, which means that all the work that I've been hanging on to for months gets to come out. And that's why I have – well, I'll be sending it, even if something happens to my channel, like 20 top YouTubers will all have it, and they will all be releasing it if need be. So.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan. Send it to me. Chris, last thought from
– Yeah, man. I appreciate you guys letting me have some fun with you guys here. It's a great conversation. You know, follow, like, subscribe, you know. Sorry I don't know you, but your peoples do you, you know, whatever. But people just keep fighting, right? Be a patriot. Don't be scared. You know, show the strength, man. Courage builds courage. Just, it's crazy, man.
Stay strong. And
look out for Base Media coming out. And... see me on the ground, man. Come on out.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in today, Chris, and sharing some thoughts. Thanks again, Rick. Always good talking to you guys. And my last thought would be this. This is the time to stand up, folks, period. We don't have much time left. So get off your butts and get busy. I'll be back in about 5 minutes, folks, with Mitchell Gerber, who is an independent journalist who has been really paying attention to what's going on in communist China as far as body harvesting and stuff going on in the government that's going to really shock you. I'll be back in about 4 minutes with Mitchell. Talk to you then.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. But not for voting. You don't believe in war. But what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me you
so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. A cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation. And marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating.
www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Well, welcome back, second hour. Thanks again to Rick and Chris for coming in and sharing some of their thoughts. Pretty cool, some of the things they're doing right now to kind of stem the tide. I'm joined by Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. Now, I was introduced to Mitchell actually through my producer. And he said, Barry, you got to get this guy on. Mitchell's living in North Vietnam. And I would safely say his specialty has been investigating the going-ons of the Chinese Communist government here in the last few years of his life. I think I'd be safe in saying that, wouldn't I, Mitchell? And welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's great to be here with you and everybody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell people what you've been doing here. Because I kind of got really intrigued when I heard what you've been investigating here in the last 3 or 4 years. I'm aware of a lot of things you're going to talk about, but the depth of it, I'm sure you're going to expose to the public here today.
Yes, of course. Well, once upon a time, long, long ago, when I was about 20 years old, I'm about 40 years old now. I originally come from a South African family. As you can hear in my accent, how's it? Everybody nice? Great?
Yes, we hear that.
Yes, and then I moved to America to become an amazing American citizen after 20 years. Wonderful country. I love it with all my heart. And while I was at the University of Georgia in Atlanta, in the South, I came across a very interesting movement and the plight of it so long ago, and I've been on the case ever since, where a innocent spiritual movement, a spiritual discipline, so to speak, became really under attack by the tyrannical Chinese Communist Party that controls China and still controls China for the last 50 to 60 years. And this innocent spiritual movement was targeted for eradication, as like others in China, and have been sent to state-mandated hospitals, their organs cut out of their bodies while alive, and their organs sold as just raw material for millions and millions of dollars to fund and fuel a multi-billion dollar organ harvesting business. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was dumbfounded. I was shocked. I was soul stirred. I couldn't believe how something so innocent and peaceful was being targeted. But when the amount of money involved was officially revealed, it was quite profound. So yeah, I'm grateful to be on your show, Barry. and with you, Steve, to discuss this. I know we discussed it on your show, Steve, and now Barry. It's a pleasure to come on and talk more about this in depth.
Well, you know, I've in the last 3-4 years there, Mitchell, I've heard a lot about this. I've actually had some conversations with some pretty intelligent people about it. You know, I know what's going on, but the thing is that the public doesn't realize what's really going on. And unfortunately, we live in a world right now where that kind of information is censored, that the public isn't allowed to know what's actually going on in China. So I'm glad to have you on today, and maybe we can expose some of this to people, maybe provide them with some information they haven't heard before, because this kind of thing, it shocks me, but in the same mouthful, it doesn't, because I know how evil the Chinese Communist Party is, that they're not our friends, that their objective is complete domination of the world. Their objective is to destroy Western civilization. And they're evil, evil people. So nothing they do surprises me. But I'd really like to talk about what you found out in the last 3-4 years about what's going on there. And I know there's a clip that we're going to play at one point here that you want people to listen to. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there has been much, much attention put and focused on or a flashlight now that has been put on the Chinese Communist Party. And I remember, folks, remember, Barry, China, the Chinese people, and the Chinese civilization are not the Chinese Communist Party. The CCP, as now people have come to recognize, because they're at the doorstep with the virus, you know, they've caused horrible things. I mean, they've decimated so much culture, destroyed so much life. I mean, under the Chinese Communist Party, over 100 million people have been wiped out. That's more than 2 world wars combined of life, 5,000 years of traditional culture, history, and values wiped out purposefully, ladies and gentlemen. And the one child policy under Chinese communist law, where it's forced females to have forced abortions, killing hundreds and thousands of their own citizens, sending them to state mandated hospitals, turning their doctors into murderers, and killing innocent citizens for their organs, just ripping them out of their bodies. The child abuse, the child trafficking, sex trafficking, the amount of dogs and cats and just animals in general that are just being killed and slaughtered for the fur trade, the environmental issues, and then exporting the Chinese communist evil specter into America, infiltrating onto the radical left, as you've seen with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all these radical communist groups that have propped up in America, trying to force Americans into submission, to dismantle the nuclear family, to take away the gun rights, to destroy the constitutional values of the United States. This is all from communist China. This is all infiltration from the Chinese Communist Party with the help of the globalist cabal, the international bankers, et cetera, et cetera. Henry Kissinger, George Soros, Rockefellers. So it ties into so many things. And people ask me, well, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why do I care? What has it got to do with my family? I'm really fully stressed out. I got bills up to the wazoo. I got children to look after. Why does this conversation matter? And this is, and now I'm sure people are coming to understand and come to the party, because it's affecting everybody, especially on the virus side. Mm-hmm. But we cannot imagine that in this day and time, where the technological advancements are so superior right now, and the global connection from the internet, and everyone is just in such a access mode of information and other things, to say the least, that this would be going on, that you would take a large group of people, a large group of citizens, create a raw material type of genocide where you're just killing your own citizens, hundreds and thousands a year, for their organs, and selling their organs on the black market and on a legal state-sanctioned way. Never been done before in any other country in the world. involving the military, the highest ranking officials of the Chinese communist regime, to kill hundreds and thousands of people. So Barry, you're doing a good job. Steve, you're doing a great job, and everyone who's listening to it is doing a great job, because not many people have heard about this. And when you do hear about this in the mainstream media, it will so stir you to your core. It hasn't come out yet. People still think, is this going on? All other people are like, yeah, this has been going on, Mitch. Come on. This is nothing new. No. Ladies and gentlemen, when you really come to realize about this new form of evil that hasn't ever taken place, whether under the Nazis, whether under the Romans, whether under the genocidal maniac Castro or the fascist Mussolini, this is a new form of evil done by the Chinese Communist Party. Everyone's going to be soul stirred. So again, thank you for letting me come on your show about this.
Well, you know, it's really hard for me to wrap my mind over the levels of evil we're talking about. But again, it doesn't surprise me, because the Chinese Communist Party aren't a representation of the Chinese people. I believe there's millions of really good Chinese people in China. But unfortunately, they are being dominated right now by a party that is absolutely, they've got to be from the depths of hell. The only way I can describe them. We look at their influence now in the World Health Organization. We look at Communist Chinese Party involvement in getting Anthony, I can't pronounce his last name, the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Anthony, help me with the last name there if you can.
Fauci?
Anyways, yeah.
Fauci?
Ahead, what's his last name?
Fauci.
No, not Fauci. The head of the World Health Organization.
Tedros Adhanom.
That's it. But the guy doesn't actually hold the doctor's certificate anywhere in the world. He's not an actual physically a physician by trade, but he is the one that Chinese Communist Party had a major influence in being appointed head of the World Health Organization. And then, of course, we listen to all the stuff that's coming out about the COVID virus through the World Health Organization, what they've done to the U.S. economy, what they've done to the mental structure of the United States of America, the same thing everywhere, on a virus, to me, that it's the biggest scam that's ever been played on the human race, period. You know, I say that for a couple reasons, and one of the things I'm doing now, and I just got this T-shirt 4 days ago, but I'm wearing it around town, and it's really allowing me an opportunity to talk to people, and the T-shirt says simply that fear is the virus. And when people ask me how I can say that, all we need to do is point out to them the amount of people that have actually died in Canada from this so-called COVID-19 virus since it first came to light. The numbers are identical. Almost identical to the flu virus for the last 3 years in Canada. So why all of a sudden this change in how we're handling the situation? It gets people thinking, and we really need to get people thinking about what's going on, because this has really gotten out of hand here, and it's only going to get worse. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Absolutely. And, you know, to understand how organ harvesting could happen in China, Barry, I mean, it's really crucial, everyone, to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party will go to wipe out something or someone. This is a reign of terror. Not many people know about this, but they are seeing the effects of the Chinese Communist Party's specter on the world, how it's trying to rule the world, how it is trying to destroy the free world and dismantle the United States. Communism is attacking the United States, especially on the radical left. They're getting more radical, more extreme. They're forming into mobs. This is all a manifestation of communism in its worst, in its fullest. And it is now in its last stages in China before it completely collapses. The Chinese Communist Party is in complete disarray. The social, economic, and political realms of this evil monstrosity, this evil imposter, this red reign of terror, this demonic specter is falling apart, has fallen apart. It's just been held up by its chin, by very rotten and demonic specters in China, namely the former president of China, Jiang Zemin. Yep. Jiang Zemin is the evil head of the Chinese Communist Party, and he was the president of China in 1999, who actually declared war on a spiritual movement that has been eradicated and targeted for brutal persecution and forced organ harvesting genocide, the likes ladies and gentlemen, we've never seen before in our lifetimes, as I was mentioning before. And I have a clip that we can play a little later just to confirm this by the evidence. The 52 pieces of evidence confirmed that large-scale, legal, state-sanctioned and mandated organ harvesting is going on in China to a scale and an unprecedented scope we've never seen before in our lifetimes. And when this particular group of people targeted by the former president of China and now President Xi, still the dictator Xi, the president now of China, was first targeted. This is a group of people, ladies and gentlemen, that became the largest spiritual discipline in the world, and in China particularly. Over 100 million people, one out of every 10 Chinese national citizens, were practicing these slow-moving exercises called Falun Gong. It consists of moral teachings, a meditation, and four gentle exercises. And with this particular spiritual movement, very similar to Tai Chi, very similar to martial arts, yoga, Falun Gong teaches the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, which stands in stark contrast to the very evil and demonic and venomous nature of the Chinese Communist Party, whose history of killing ascends any type of regime in history. There is a saying that says that many regimes, many dictators in history killed in order to conquer. The Chinese Communist Party, folks, conquered in order to kill. So when Falun Gong became the largest spiritual movement in China, 100 million people, 30 million people more than the Chinese Communist Party's official membership roster, the Chinese Communist Party and its gang of scoundrels, led by the Chinese Communist regime's evil head of the Chinese Communist Party, Jiang Zemin, in 1999, outlawed the practice, declared war on it, and launched a villainous campaign, the likes we've never seen before, to eradicate 100 million people from the shores of China, send them to state-mandated hospitals, cut out their organs while alive, and sell the organs as the healthiest organs in the world illegally without any consent, after realizing the health benefits of the Falun Gong movement, of the Falun Gong spiritual mind and body practice, how it emanates and gives off the emotional, spiritual, and mental benefits of health in such a way that never touched any other was never as healthy as any other practice through medical research, and started to kill these people for their organs. Then the House Christians, then the Uyghur Muslims, and the Tibetans. But the Falun Gong, most people haven't heard about. So that's why, again, I'm grateful to come on your show to talk about it.
Well, I've never heard of that one. I'm quite honest myself. It's all news to me. But regardless of that, what we're talking about right now, for most people, they'd almost find it very hard to believe that this is going on in our world right now. I was first brought aware of this about 6 years ago by a friend of mine named Roger Landry. And he talked to me about back then. And he says, you know, that the communists have, or the Chinese have, such control over the media that none of this is ever going to be exposed, that they have complete shutdown of any of this information coming out of China. But now we're starting to hear of independent journalists like yourself confirming what our worst fears are, that this is actually going on. Maybe this would be a good time to maybe play that clip to let people listen to that, because I found that quite interesting. Think we could do that? Would this be a good time for them to hear this, Mitchell?
Sure. And let me preface the clip, Barry, as that in 2006, the persecution, the brutal persecution, and probably and pretty much the crackdown or the forbiddenness of, or the ban of, this particular spiritual movement, namely Falun Gong, commenced on July 20th, 1999. 1 month before the crackdown, June 1999, there was a Gestapo type of office, just like the Nazis created in Nazi Germany. The former president created the office called the 610 office, that sits on top to this day of the Chinese Communist Party system that controls the government and all levels of economic, social, and political realms, and mandates and policies and implementations in China. for one purpose and one purpose only, to destroy this particular spiritual movement. Everything in China is connected to this particular spiritual movement, namely Falun Gong, to wipe it out and to create a multi-billion-dollar organ harvesting business. So the clip you're going to hear of from the investigators, David Kilgore, David Mattis, and Ethan Gutman, who have confirmed the allegations correct and true, that there are about 52 pieces of evidence and counting more and more now that there has been forced live organ harvesting in China to the magnitude and scope we've never seen. So without further ado, you can play that clip.
Okay. Steve, could you play that for us? Thanks, bud.
A rather upsetting issue, allegations that have repeatedly been aired that China plays a part in harvesting organs, mainly of executed prisoners. The numbers run to thousands every year. Organs then get sold on for transplants. It's always been vehemently denied by the Chinese government. But here in Britain, representatives of a campaign called Forced Organ Harvesting have been looking at the issue, and they've gone as far as presenting their latest findings to the British Parliament. Two representatives join us here in the studio. Welcome to David Kilgore, former member of the Canadian Parliament, and Ethan Gutman, author of several books on China, who've both been involved in the investigations, are here to tell us a little bit more. David Kilgore, if I could start with you, what are the latest findings of your investigation? What are you closing in on?
That about 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners have been killed and their organs trafficked. There are other people too, convicted prisoners, are killed, of course, but, the thing that we're focusing on is the Falun Gong community. My colleague Ethan Gutman has done a lot of work on the Uyghur community. He'll probably want to say something about that, but yeah, there's no doubt. We have 52 kinds of evidence that this is happening. To give you the easiest example, the wife of a surgeon told us that her husband had removed the corneas from 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners in a 2-year period. So, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind. We've got two books on it. We've got all kinds of.
And these, here, just to clarify, these come after judicial executions.
No, there's no judicial involvement in virtually all of the Falun Gong. That's the thing that nobody understands.
Okay, right. So we better clarify this, because we often cover the fact that China, of course, has one of the highest rates of execution, yeah, judicial execution. It's their choice. That's what, yeah, they do. And they're always there in the top three, along with, yep, Saudi Arabia and, yep, Iran. But, yep, this is something different.
Exactly. It's because a police signature is all you need to get sent to a forced labor camp. And then basically what happens is somebody from, it could be London, it could be Canada, goes over there for a liver. And there's a computer bank, and it says there's a match for you out in camp number 50. And somebody's dragged out of the camp number 50 into an operating room. Their liver's taken out of them. It's flown to Shanghai, where you're probably waiting for your liver. And you come back to London with a new liver, and somebody has been killed like a lobster in a grotesque restaurant.
Hang on a minute. So you're not even saying, because, I mean, it's one issue, the judicial executions and the use of the cadaver, mm-hmm, which I suppose in a certain legal sense is the property of the state once the state has, mm-hmm, killed the individual. But you're saying these are people being killed to order.
Precisely. And it's so, as you say, your horror shows how distressing it is. But yet it never gets mentioned, that these are people who've been maybe giving out pamphlets asking them to stop killing Falun Gong, and they're guilty of nothing.
The allegation and our findings are shocking. I mean, to us, this is a form of evil we have yet to see on this planet. This is a new form of evil. I'm David Mattis, and with me is David Kilgore. We've been asked to investigate allegations that there has been harvesting of organs of Falun Gong in China. That the donors, the Falun Gong donors, are unwilling. Then they have been executed in the process, either for the purpose of the transplants or after the transplants, and that their bodies are cremated. That was the allegation we were asked to investigate. David Kilgore is a former member of Parliament and former cabinet minister for Asia Pacific, and I'm a Winnipeg lawyer doing immigration, refugee, and international human rights law in Winnipeg. We were asked to investigate this allegation by the coalition it's a coalition investigating allegations of persecution, coalition to investigate the persecution of Falun Gong in China, which is based in Washington, D.C. We were asked to do this a couple months ago, and we have now done our investigation, and we're producing this report. We were not paid. We were doing this as volunteers, and we're not associated officially with anyone. We're just acting independently from everyone and doing this investigation. We pursued every investigative trail we could find. In the report, you will see that there are 18 different avenues of proof and disproof we considered and evaluated. Our bottom line conclusion after considering everything as best we could was that the allegations are true. We believe them to be true, that this harvesting is indeed happening. That conclusion comes not from any one of these different 18 categories of evidence that we looked at, but by assessing everything altogether. Altogether, they paint a whole picture. All the evidence we looked at either corroborated the allegations or, in some cases, where we were looking at possible disproof, did not disprove the allegations. We do know for a fact that the Falun Gong are depersonalized, dehumanized, and marginalized, repressed, persecuted, both in word and in deed, in the most vile ways possible. For this sort of allegation to be true in Canada would involve a very large step from where we are. But in China, it's not that big a step from where China has been.
Well, that was an interesting video, to say the least. Why don't you elaborate on what they were talking about there, Mitchell?
Sure, Barry. Those two investigators, David Kilgore and David Mattis, in 2006, folks, came out to confirm that this was going on in China. I mean, I just want, as much as we can, to wrap your head around and imagine just being forcefully blood tested. Your families, your colleagues, just people in your community, strangers, just being forcefully blood tested, so barged into your homes. You have no security, no privacy. You get marched into a hospital, and your organs just extracted out of your body, just forcefully with a little anesthetic, and then your body's cremated. This is the allegations that this was legally sanctioned by the highest levels of the Chinese Communist Party, using the Chinese military to send hundreds and thousands of innocent Falun Gong spiritual practitioners and others to these state-mandated hospitals and their organs cut out of their bodies. These are the allegations, just like lobsters taken out of a tank, cut open, their organs sold. Within a week or two, you would find kidneys, livers, pancreases, hearts, corneas, skin, lungs. Within 1 or 2 weeks, waiting times, and even a matter of days, sometimes a matter of hours, compared to long waiting lines of 4 to 5 or 6 or even 8 years. And these two gentlemen, David Kilgore and David Mattis, in 2006, confirmed the allegation that this was going on, that they believed to be true. And then in by 2008, they were joined by Ethan Guttman, the Nobel Peace Prize nominee of the 2016 or 17, I think even 18, Nobel Peace Prize nominee. And he wrote the book, The Slaughter, that gave even more investigative evidence and fact that this was going on. These three gentlemen have exposed this this irrefutable evidence. And on March 2006, when the investigative reports were coming out and the allegations were confirmed, the international media that all started to become more in bed with the Chinese communist regime and hiding the harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners. Now remember, folks, when this particular spiritual movement, which is beautiful, I highly recommend people practicing. I mean, the health benefits are amazing, Barry. First came into power in China, it was the life force of China. I mean, you had 1 out of every 10 Chinese national citizens practicing these slow-moving exercises, following a more truthful and compassionate and tolerant life. Millions of dollars of healthcare costs were being reduced. Suicide rates were being reduced. All kinds of ailments, illnesses, and injuries were disappearing. People were living longer. It was really a great healthy time for the Chinese society after being introduced this practice to the general public. public by a very genuine and down-to-earth teacher, Mr. Lee, who has been nominated for 5 Nobel Peace Prizes and incredible health awards throughout the world, just by teaching people to be considerate, to be more truthful, whether in business, whether in love, whether in life, and introducing to the general public these 5 exercises, namely Falun Gong. And after realizing how beneficial the health is to the body, the Chinese Communist Party started to kill these people en masse to fuel a multi-billion dollar organ harvesting business. And the highest ranking officials through the continual effort over the course of the last dozen years, the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of the Falun Gong has investigated even China's most senior leadership, including 5 former standing committee members of the Chinese Communist Party central leadership, the former vice chairman of the Central Military Commission, and the former Ministry of National Defense, the former Minister of Commerce, and a former health minister of the General Logistics Department of the Chinese Communist Party's Liberation Army. We've conducted investigations targeting over 891 organ transplant hospitals, over 10,000 organ transplant surgeons and specialists, multiple rounds of searches and analysis from hundreds and thousands of media reports, medical papers, cached hospital web pages and database. Over 2,000 telephone investigations with doctors recorded online saying that, yeah, no problem, we have these specific organs. They're fresh. They're available. We're cutting them out. They're like lobsters out of a tank. We just have to cut and cut here and cut there, no problem. 2,000 reports, phone investigation recordings. I mean, it's just unbelievable that this has been going on. From the top-ranking leaders, that this has been going on, the military, and no other regime on the face of the earth, folks, whether in Israel, whether in America, whether in North Korea, whether in Pakistan, wherever you are in the world, there is no other regime on the face of the earth, no other government, no other nation in the world that has pretty much the largest military, the second largest economy, the largest amount of people in the world that is doing this to their own people on a large scale like this.
My question will be then is, you know, we're hearing this information from you today. Where would people go to start doing research themselves to verify what you're saying is actually true? Because I'm sure there's people right now that would be saying that, you know, where can I go find out about this for myself and maybe investigate it further? Where would they start looking?
That's a great question. Most importantly, I can direct your listeners' attention to endtransplantabuse.org. Endtransplantabuse.org. It's a great website that holds all the reports. If you go to the page, you'll see in the investigative report section, you can see all the reports, the government reports, the academic articles, the NGO reports, books, documentaries, the media analysis, a great website to expose this. And that's one. Then you have the Kilgore Mattis report. And if anyone would like look it up, it's just Kilgour Mattis, M-A-T-A-S, Kilgore Mattis report. That was the first investigative catnip, basically, report that confirmed the allegations are true. You can also go to stoporganharvesting.org. It's a great website as well, very concise, very precise as well. They will share that with you. And then also Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, DAFOH.org, independent investigative reports that confirm the allegations true. So there's absolutely no doubt. I mean, you've heard the clip. This is going on. There's no doubt about this. And I would really implore your listeners to look into this more.
Another site, go to the Epoch Times, because they did a major report on that, okay? And that's one news organization that I follow. I don't know if you're aware of them or not, but they have a website called Epoch Times. Guys, go look at and punch in organ harvesting in China, because I read their report. And they basically have backed up everything that you've been telling me here in the last little while, Mitchell. So there's another source of information. You know, we we really do got to expose this to the world. And I think this is something that maybe I'll get involved with a little bit more myself and exposing this information, maybe get you back on again in the future to talk about this, because it's the kind of thing that it disturbs me, but it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't, because to me, the Chinese Communist Party is the most evil entity in the world. To me, they're the biggest threat to human civilization right now, and I don't think I'm overestimating that statement at all.
No, you're not. No, you're not at all. I mean, they have caused chaos. They have unleashed a horrible virus that we are now seeing more and more evidence that it's man-made in the Wuhan lab, concocted by the Chinese Communist Party and other evil forces at play internationally. The Chinese Communist Party has destroyed its people, are laying waste to people around the world. They've hacked the major elections. They've hacked the intelligence reports. They've stolen intellectual property. They run the World Health Organization, which is the Communist Health Organization, basically, as we were mentioning earlier in the broadcast. They also control the United Nations. So most governing bodies have been in the pockets of the Chinese Communist Party. Look at the tech giants. You've got Facebook, you've got Google, you've got Yahoo, you've got Cisco Systems, you have Microsoft, all in bed with the Chinese Communist Party, has established one of the biggest censorship firewall initiatives to control all internet inside and outside of China. And called Operation Golden Shield, that was initiated in 1999, about two or three months right before the complete ban of Falun Gong. So the Chinese Communist Party brought these tech companies together and said, "Look, we have to create an Operation Golden Shield, a censorship firewall campaign or shield around China, just like in Iran, just like in North Korea." To control all, control the information, and pinpoint and target people who are trying to go against us. So a lot of people in China were sent to labor camps, death camps, concentration camps, up to 254 re-education centers, concentration camps, labor camps. I mean, the Laogao system was, which is the labor camp system, skyrocketed in China. After the ban of the spiritual movement called Falun Gong came into being, as well as the infiltration of many people through the internet, it really became a new form of evil against such an innocent group of people that many were initially drawn to. I mean, you had hundreds and thousands of people, millions of people in China drawn to this innocent group of people, Barry, called Falun Gong because of its healing effects. I mean, however, a significant reason for Falun Gong's popular appeal was also due to its simple and straightforward requirements for people who practice. Live your life according to truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Let go of negative attachments and be responsible to yourself. Unlike other extremist, religious groups or cults that expand their evil influence, Falun Gong was demonized as a cult, a CIA-backed cult, by the Chinese Communist Party in order to turn public opinion against it and then to destroy them legally, financially and legally, and state-sanctioned organ harvesting to make a fortune off them. So I'm glad the message is coming through. I'm glad people are becoming more aware. And it's unfortunate to me that it's been taking such a long time, because now the Chinese Communist Party is affecting your own family. Now you're only willing to say, oh, we got to pay attention. Well, what happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago when I was pleading and begging with the media agencies and the world's people to turn their focus on this? But until something happens to your own family, and I'm not blaming anybody because, we've got a lot of things going on in our lives. But now it's on the table. Now the barbarians are at the door.
Yeah, well, there's no excuse for not seeing what's going on in our world right now, because it's in our face, and this is just another example of some of the evils that we see going on in this planet. As far as this virus being unleashed by a Chinese lab, Mitchell, to me, this virus has been nothing more than a flu virus, but amped to a point by mainstream media and the World Health Organization and other health organizations that are working in conjunction with them to ramp this up to a point where it was put to the public as something that was something. The word pandemic alone, you know, I looked at three different, definitions of the word pandemic. And according to the dictionary, a pandemic is a virus in society or a disease in society that is killing up to 7% of the population on a regular basis and is affecting 12% of the population. Well, we've never even gotten close to those numbers. To me, all this is, my friend, has been a virus that has been blown out of proportion. It shows us the power of the mainstream media. It shows us the power of organizations, of the World Health Organization. You have people like Justin Trudeau that are going along with the same mandate because it's all part of the same agenda. But to me, this has been a nothing burger, buddy. Absolute nothing burger. In Canada, our flu virus numbers for the last 3 years, and I looked at them in great detail, the amount of people killed by influenza virus in Canada in the last 3 years, 2017, 18, and 19, are identical to the amount of people that have died in Canada from the so-called pandemic COVID virus. But what have we done to our society? It shows you the power of the mainstream. That's my thoughts on that, my friend. To me, it is the biggest nothing burger turned into a super burger that I've ever seen in my life. My thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're living in very interesting times. I mean, there's a lot that is happening in this world nowadays, and all is pointed to the Chinese Communist Party and its dark minions of evil. I mean, yeah, it's really got to a point where these people and this demonic force of the Chinese Communist Party, particularly, are cornered rats on a sinking ship. They have nowhere to go and nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. And everything is now being exposed. And the world's people have no choice but to face it and stand either on the right side of destiny or the wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree. It's in our face, man. There's no excuse for not knowing what's going on right now. I mean, it doesn't take a science. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. So my question is, why are we such an apathetic society, especially in Canada, where, you know, I see a lot of Canadians still just completely oblivious to what's going on around them. But it's in our face. Our country's being destroyed, and we see it right around the planet. Look what's going on in Australia. What actually is going on in New Zealand? We were talking off the air there about that for a few minutes, Mitchell. That, to me, is one of the brightest beacons of hope I've seen. Because we have a grassroots party that has come from nowhere, from virtually nowhere. The party is now 111 days old, but they're polling in second place in New Zealand. And I believe they are going to become the ruling party in New Zealand because they're seeing what's going on. They're looking over at Australia, and they see what's going on there right now, folks. That's coming to our backyard very, very soon, very soon. So I applaud what they're doing in New Zealand, but we need the same thing to happen worldwide. And we are seeing that happen now, Mitchell. We're seeing grassroots movements rise at an incredible rate.
And it's about time. It's about time that...
Well, the time is short, buddy. Time's short.
I know. Not like it was in the old days when I was doing grassroots campaigning since 2001, and I was, you know, sharing this and trying to get the message out. But look, a little time than no time is better than, you know, some time is better than no time, you know. And we haven't got much time until, you know, things come fully out about what's going on in China and what is happening around the world. And people are waking up, which is great, which is really good. And you can see it at the with the radical leftists, with this BLM nonsense and communist cult, Antifa. They are really savage. I mean, disrupting people's dinners, forcing people to cancel this and cancel culture and political correctness and all this nonsense. I mean, I remember a time when Americans received the nickname loudmouth, when they were not scared to speak their mind, when there was this this freedom that was very beautiful and special in America, and time-honored tradition of Independence Day and flying the American flag. I was in awe of America. Everyone was in awe of America. And the globalist cabal and the evil Chinese Communist Party concocted a a solution, an evil manipulative solution to destroy the fundamental fabrics of the United States, the constitutional laws, the Second Amendment, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, to denounce our founding fathers, to denounce the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, to make it illegal to talk about anything that is against the communist spectre or the radical left agenda. Mm-hmm. And this is what's playing out. And this all comes from the Communist Manifesto. You know, you were talking about the Epoch Times, Barry. There's a really good publication, and I really implore your listeners to read about it or to listen or even to watch it. Yep. From the Epoch Times out of New York, a phenomenal independent newspaper, an investigative newspaper of truth and credibility and sound journalism, as opposed to the fake news media out there.
Well, and you can subscribe to them right now for $1, guys. So go subscribe. I just did, and I started reading some of their articles. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but it's one publication that I would point people to. Go ahead, Mitchell.
100%, Barry, and thank you for pointing it out, actually. And this was a really good publication called their editorial series called the How the Spectre of Communism is Ruling Our World. If you just go to the epochtimes.com and or Google and you type in How the Spectre of Communism is Ruling Our World by the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times, the Epoch Times, the special TV series, or it's that you can listen through an audio book, it's all for free. And it talks about how communism, that the specter of communism is ruling our world. And it goes into strategies for destroying humanity and how it has been infiltrating the West, the destruction of the family, how communism sows chaos in politics. Really great documentary and editorial series that I highly recommend. It will blow your mind, really blow your mind.
They just did an incredible article on climate change and socialism that I read, and it really resonated with everything that I've looked at and studied as far as climate change and how they've used that against society. It's just another agenda to bring us under control and destroy our society and destroy our culture and destroy our economy, and it is working very well.
Well, it's not going to last much longer, because the American people do not want this communist agenda infiltrating into their free lives and their normal lives. And as you can see, they're shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, all these BLM so-called mob riots, I don't even want to call them protesters, because they're not peaceful. They never had the demeanor of Martin Luther King or Coretta Scott King, who I was luckily and fortunate to march with before she died. This is Martin Luther King's wife. They were peaceful. They were diplomatic. There was racism at that time. Nowadays, they're using racism as a psyop disguised, as they are using liberalism as a disguise of communism. Socialism is a trap to communism. You saw that with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Obama. They're all in bed with the Chinese Communist Party. They don't care about the United States. They don't care about America. They're anti-America. And they have been fueling this anti-American sentiment and the destruction of the family and the destruction of the United States of America's Constitution, as I've just mentioned, by ushering in and allowing the Chinese Communist Party specter to poison the lost liberal university mind. Mm-hmm. of these people. I was watching the other day about Caitlin Bennett. She has the YouTube channel Liberty Hangout, and she did a lot of work with InfoWars, Alex Jones, who I went on a couple of interviews as well, with Owen Scheuer of the War Room, a great gentleman as well, great media agency. You can love him, you can say good things and bad things about Alex Jones, but there is truth to what he says. And I'm grateful they went on this program as well. But how when you go on these liberal university campuses, you can't even mention conservatism. You can't even mention Trump. You can't even mention MAGA. You wear a MAGA hat, or you wear anything associated with the Trump movement or Patriot movement or America or the Pledge of Allegiance or the flag, you will get beaten and hit and condemned and spat off and even driven off campus, suspended from campus. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And that's why Trump actually, I think he wrote into law to defund university, federal, deny federal funding to universities who ban conservatives.
I think you saw that.
So, yes, with New Zealand, with America, we will not allow this to happen. And with the communism and communist spectre dying, as hard as that is to believe, because it does seem like, oh my God, how can you be saying it's dying when we're seeing all this this infiltration and all this ramping up of this radical leftism even in America? Trust me, folks, the communist specter is dying, and it will not take over our great republic. It will not take over our great constitutional value and our freedom of rights and our self-governing principles that all men are created equal under the law of the United States Constitution. And so one thing I'm hopeful for, but it is close, folks, and it needs all of our help to vote in November, vote on November 3rd. The election is taking place. But look, the mail-in ballots have also been rigged. Everything's been rigged. They want to destroy Trump. They want to destroy America. And they want to use a communist-style system to be installed in America in order to control and wipe out the last remaining free republic that we have under a communist terror. And that's what we're fighting for now. We're fighting for the republic, to hold on to the republic.
For them to achieve their end game, they're going to have to take out the biggest obstacle in the way, and that is the United States of America. So, of course, that is going to be the objective of their attacks, and we see it. And like Trump or hate him, I know that there's a lot of people that don't like Trump. I'm kind of one of these people that have said over the years, I'm kind of sitting on the fence, Mitchell, because I've always said to get to a position that he's in, that somebody's made a deal somewhere. But to say that I don't like things that Trump are doing would be a lie, because to me, he's the only person in the world right now standing against the absolute full-blown globalist agenda that wants to take over our world. I know that a lot of people don't agree with your position on Trump, but that's their position. They, you know, we live in a free world. They can think and they can say what they want. But to me, there is nobody else right now for a choice as far as going forward and stopping what we see. If Biden was to steal this election, United States would be destroyed very, very quickly. Within a matter of 2 or 3 years, there'd be nothing left of the country. So we are in a very interesting time. Go ahead.
I agree with you completely, Barry. I agree with you completely. You could, you know, if whether you like Trump or not like Trump, the matter is, you know,
what choice do you have?
What choice do you have? Exactly. I mean,
exactly.
So what you said was very true. And getting back to the forced organ harvesting, I mean, I've put 20 years of my life in exposing this, and very difficult, very difficult. But what is a man who cannot make the world a better place? You know, I don't have the power like Trump has, or Obama had, or Putin has, or other places in the world have. I mean, the World Health Organization. I don't have the power, but you know, what I've been doing is trying to expose this kind of evil against such innocent groups of people. And you can do something good in this world. You know, people ask me, well, what can we do, Mitch? You know, we cannot bomb China. We cannot bomb the railroads like we did in Nazi Germany, or try to at least. But even then, you know, so many people had to die before the Allies invaded. We cannot invade China. They would just, there's no way to do that. So what can we do? And I said to them, well, look, the biggest thing you can do is discernment. You can spread the awareness. You know, go to endtransplantabuse.org. Go to stoporganharvesting.org. Sign a petition. A petition is, Shakespeare said, the pen is more mighty than the sword. So it's basically almost like you're signing a will, or signing a document in a mortgage statement or a bank statement or a check. You wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't sign your name if you didn't think it was important. The same as a petition. Energetically, you're standing on the right side of destiny, and it also makes you feel like you are supporting something good. You're supporting the ending of this brutal atrocity against innocent groups of people. You have nothing really to do with you, but yet you feel in support of good. That is making your decision as a human being to stand with goodness, to stand with civility, to stand with righteousness against evil atrocities. Because to fail to support the good and to fail to expose evil is unacceptable. And just because it's got nothing to do with your life does not mean that you can't listen in and take heed, because one day maybe it will.
Hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, I'm Christian myself, and I kind of live by the Ten Commandments. And I figure, boy, if we all live by those commandments, the world would be a great place. But unfortunately, we're not. And I'm at a point in my life now where I know I can't reach everybody, but maybe a few people have heard our words today, and maybe we've had an influence in a few people's thoughts. And if I do that during the course of a conversation, it's been a great day for me. I've enjoyed talking with you, Mitchell, and I'm definitely going to have you back here in the next little while. Good response in the audience, and you seem to be a great wealth of information as far as things that most people aren't aware of. So I definitely will have you back in the near future. We're down to about 6 minutes of the show. Maybe you could take a couple of minutes and tell people where they can find you, your social media outlets, and where they can follow you.
Absolutely. My Twitter account is TruthSeeker077, and my Facebook is Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. We're friends on Facebook, Barry, so they can find me there. I think you put my Facebook on the introduction page. And, you know, for me, folks, is, you know, I leave no name, I seek no reward. What's important is the discernment, is sharing this information. Go and try the exercises. A lot of people are stressed out right now. Also, it's a great protectorate against the virus. I know when I practice the Falun Gong exercises, they're really good for health. They relieve my stress. They relieve my anxiety. Whether you're Christian, Jewish, atheist, it doesn't matter. These exercises are really good. These Eastern ways have a way of really unblocking energy channels and allowing the blood to flow and circulate better. And don't worry, the Chinese government is not going to come after your organs. But try it for free, you know. Try it for free. It's very, very easy to learn. And you can go and learn the exercises and learn more about the practice of Falun Gong in depth at falluninfo.net. That's FALUNINFO.net. But folks, if I could just reach out and touch your hearts with my sincerity today, thank you for listening, and thank you for just being part of this conversation. So now you know exactly what Falun Gong is, a spiritual movement that has been targeted brutally by the Chinese Communist Party for eradication. And I hope, my hope is that you will pass this archived chat, download it, share it, share the websites with your family and friends, and who's ever listening and doing business in China. I hope you will redirect to other countries in the world, Vietnam, Taiwan, Singapore, Philippines, rather than dealing with the Chinese Communist Party, because your money is going to fund large-scale genocide, whether you like to know it or not. I would pull out of China. I don't do business in China. I've been in Vietnam for the last 2 years of my life, back and forth, in and out. I mean, I've been visiting my family. The last time I went to America was about 6 or 7 months ago. I missed the country. And be grateful for all the freedoms you have, because under communist rule, you are a slave. You have no property. You are owned and tagged and bagged by the communist specter. And if you're not careful, look what's happening in America. Your meals are being disrupted. Your streets are being disrupted. I mean, look at Portland, Oregon. I saw a video of the feds arresting a lot of Antifa thugs and these little soy boys and beta males. And that's good, because it's time to clean up the communist specter. And you know, I just hope for America's sake that we bond together, regardless if you're a Trump supporter or not. Americans do not want to see this communist radicalism infiltrate our society. We are a free nation. We are a normal nation. You have the right to do business. You have the right to carry arms. You have the right to speak your mind and say what you feel and assemble peacefully and protest. And we should have a rule of law and not become some kind of socialist, democratic, communist, Marxist state, because that just leads to destruction, despair, and complete annihilation of our own rights. So thank you, Barry, for letting me come on, and God bless everybody, and thank you for listening, and I hope to join you again soon.
We'll definitely do that, Mitchell, because your heart's in the right place, my friend. And it's really a pleasure talking to you today, and I learned a little bit about stuff that I've never heard before, so maybe I'll look into that a little bit myself. Thanks for joining in today, folks, and thanks, Mitchell, for coming in. Thanks to Rick and Chris for coming in the first hour. Been an enjoyable show. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Always like to thank my producer, Steve, for putting up with me every week. He really does a lot of work behind the scenes for me, and I thank him greatly for that. I'll be back next week, same time, same place, folks. Have a great week. God bless you all, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.